Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Pastor Clark Covington here with another episode of KJV Cafe. Thank you for tuning in. All we do here is study the Bible. If you're new here, we're just going verse by verse through the entire Bible, the King James Version. That's why it's called KJV Cafe. Verse by verse through the entire Bible. And we're here on Genesis 4, moving right along, looking at what we can pull from Genesis 4, what it meant then, right? What it means now and what it means to us. I learned a version of that from Brother Adrian Rogers years ago. When we study the Bible, we have to look at the context, what it means then. We have to look at what it means now, like what we can understand about it if it deals with prophecy or society and all. And then what does it mean to us personally? And so I learned that, and I always think that's a great way to study scripture. And I'm not saying that I apply that to every single verse we're going through. A lot of these verses, they kind of preach themselves. They teach themselves. If you take time to just chew the cud in the format that we have, we are typically taking only one or two verses at a time. Now today, a little bit of anomaly here. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses. So we're going to cover a lot of ground here today, but we are going to hopefully get some more lessons that, again, we can learn the Bible better. We can apply it to our understanding in our lives of the, you know, our worldview, if you would, as well as apply it to ourselves personally. And again, if you think you can't apply it to yourself, then you're misled, because what have we learned so far? We learned that, you know, Cain killed Abel in Genesis 4. We learned that he was warned by God not to do it. We learned that he did it in a field, probably tried to do it in secret. We learned that he lied to God after doing it, and that was a really poor judgment call there. We learned that the consequences are greater than he can bear in his own words. And we learned that he becomes a vagabond. He becomes a fugitive. And if you're in jail, you may not like being in jail. But I would argue that being in jail is probably better than being a fugitive. I mean, if you're in jail, you're where you're supposed to be. You have your meals. You have some maybe course of getting back into society. And I know there's a word for that. And I'm not going to try to pronounce it because I'm thinking all kinds of words. But you have all these things. Now, when you're a fugitive, you have nothing. You're on the run. You're constantly fearing for your life, right? You're fearing for rearrest and greater punishment. You have no peace. You have no stability. You have no sense of soundness in your soul. It's a horrible way to live. I know some people run away and get away with it. Most people get caught or get killed or whatever, but that's a horrible way to live. And that's how Cain is now left us. In verse 16, he's gone from the presence of the Lord, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. That would preach right there. The sin took place. Before the sin took place, Cain had a relationship with God. The sin takes place. The wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us. Cain's relationship with God is fractured, and he is gone from the presence of the Lord. That's it. He dwelt in the land of Nod, and N-O-D is how you say it, so I'm just saying Nod. That's what I'm looking at here. What is that? That's Hebrew for wanderer, exile, fugitive. People say maybe it was a real place. Maybe it was just kind of like, that, you know, you're dwelling in the land of creativity, right? You're dwelling in the land of athleticism. Like it's like a form of speech to say you're living a certain lifestyle, where he was a wanderer, an exile, a fugitive. We don't know. What we do know is he was detached from God, and it was the beginning of a godless civilization. Up to this point, you got to remember, you have Adam and Eve. As far as we know, you have Cain and Abel's the first two born. Cain kills Abel. So Abel's now gone, right? From the earthly civilization. Cain is now a vagabond. We're going to see very shortly here, Adam and Eve now have Seth, which is the godly line. But at this time, everything was kind of cluttered in there. And so we're going to see here some verses, and I'm just going to read this scripture, make sure I get to it. But we'll take a break first. I'll read our today's scripture, and I'll go through how Cain was able to have children with no one else living. So stay tuned to answer that question.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome back to the program. So let's dive into the scripture here. Genesis 4, starting at 17. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. So we don't know. It doesn't say, and Cain met a pretty lady. No, it doesn't say that, you know. It says, and Cain knew his wife. Okay, so he got together with his wife, and they had a child. Well, how did they have a child? My understanding is, and there's nothing to refute this that I can see, that Adam and Eve had many children over many years. Remember, Adam lived over 900 years. So the space of him being a fugitive and the space of Adam and Eve having a bunch of kids and so on, probably 50, 100, 200, 300 years. And so the next imperative, the next important thing that God wants us to know is now children are being born to Cain, but we don't know exactly how long this is. And I've got a timeline, if we have time, we'll get to that. We can look at the Bible timeline and give a general idea of like where, what box that would fit into. Obviously it had to be less than 900 years because that's how long Adam lived. And so somewhere between however many years it was before Adam. Yeah, you get the idea. Okay. The point is he had relations with a relative, and people say, oh, isn't that incest? Well, it is now, but back then, I mean, think about it. Cain's parents, Adam and Eve, were meant to live forever. So they had perfect genes, perfect bodies in the sense of compared to us today. So that we know that because they lived almost 1,000 years. They lived a long time back then. They were pretty healthy. So the fact that two of them would get together was just how it had to be. So he is with some kind of relative. That's what we think. And verse 17 says, he bare Enoch and builded a city and called the name of the city after his son Enoch. So this is the first city that we see. And we see, I have a point about cities, but I'm going to read all the verses first. I don't want to get ahead of myself. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of one was Adah, and the name of the other was Zillah. And Adab bare Jabal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents and such as have cattle. And the brother's name was Jabal, and he was the father of such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Nema. Okay. So we see here generations being born. Something like seven. Okay. So clearly decades are passing. You're not going to have a baby and the baby's not going to have a baby, right? So decades, you know, tens of years, hundreds of years are passing. Okay. And again, just for the sake of brevity or the sake of what's important, God doesn't need us to know all of what's happening in this season. We know the Bible is the authoritative living word of God. So we don't need to know everything that was happening. We just know enough that Cain has what? A city. And he's got a family tree or a family line. And these are some characters in that family tree or that family line. That's what God wants us to know here from what we can see in the word. And we see here that a city is mentioned. This is the first city in scripture, Genesis 4. So what, you know, someone, trivia question, when was the first city mentioned in the Bible or when was the first city made on earth? Genesis 4 tells us it was the city of Enoch. Before then, we're learning about gardens. Amen. I don't know about you. I've lived in the city. I've lived in the country. I prefer the country. Now, I do love the architecture of the city and the beauty of the buildings and this, the parks and stuff, all that, you know, it's great. I grew up 11 miles from New York City. I mean, which apparently is the biggest city in the country. I kept thinking it, you know, it was or it wasn't, and I couldn't figure it out. But yes, it is. It is. I'll just, you know, I'm going to Google search it. Biggest city in the U.S. That's New York. Okay. Biggest city in the world. Let's see. Biggest city in the world. In Asia, maybe like Tokyo or something. But largest cities, New York's got to be up there. Yeah. New York's, they're number 11 for the largest city, Tokyo, Japan. There you go. All kinds of trivia mentions here today. But New York's a massive city. Cities can be good. I say all that to mention that doesn't wickedness just absolutely run wild in the city? We see the first city founded by Enoch, right? We see here in Genesis 4. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. This would be the first one. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. So Cain built a city and named it after his son, Enoch. And this is the first mention of the city in the Bible. And when you think of all of the abominations against God, rampant alcohol use, rampant homosexuality in the quote, pride movement, rampant just sinful living and wicked living, drug use and calling evil good and good evil. All of these things, they are absolutely present in the country, but they seem to be concentrated in the city. Why is that? You know, why is it? And, you know, and think about, like, I think about New York City at night. I've told people, you go to New York City on like a Sunday night, it's the same as it is Monday night or Tuesday night or any night. They call it the city that never sleeps. There's something about a city after dark where it just becomes even more wicked. There's a verse here, Proverbs 11:21. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. You know, people, I don't know if it's strength in numbers. I don't know if it's hiding from God in these cities. I don't know what it is, but the city often represents wickedness. Think of Babylon, very advanced for its time, wickedness. Egypt, very prosperous for its time, the world, wickedness. I mean, cities represent wickedness. Now, if you live in a city, hey, you know, maybe God's called you to be there. You know, we don't live too far. I mean, we were probably 45 minutes, an hour from Charlotte. We're not too far, you know? I mean, it's not that we can't go to the city. It's that we shouldn't let the dainties of the food and the life of the city and, you know, all the things that had Lot's wife looking back to Sodom, we shouldn't let those things charm us. We should be very cautious and guard our hearts because wickedness happens. Genesis 4, the evil line of Cain and the city there. And then we see here soon thereafter, there's seven generations born and Lamech is introduced. Lamech is going to be a example of this wickedness in Cain's offspring. He's a polygamist. He's sinful. He's boastful. But we see also another interesting fact that there's a proliferation of modernized society. Think about this. It's only fourth chapter of the Bible. Amen. It was a long time ago. Cain, right? You can do the generations. You say Cain is the first of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve. They have Cain. That's the first. Then you have Enoch the second. Then you have Irad the third. Methuselah the fourth. Methuselah the fifth. Lamech the sixth. I mean, you have five, six, seven generations. I'll call it like that because I don't know if I'm counting them correctly. You have five, six generations from God, okay? From God creating man. That's not that many people, right? It's not that many people back. And you already have what? You have tent builders. You have cattle ranchers. You have harp and organ players, musicians. You have brass and ironwork. We see advanced society. This goes completely against the narrative, and we'll get to this in the next episode in greater detail. But this goes completely against the narrative that man puts forth of evolution. In evolution, you have the caveman living millions of years ago, but they didn't really speak. And then you have this. Oh, now they have the Stone Age, and then you have the Iron Age and the Bronze Age. Look, friend. These ages were all right when God created man, okay? Man was sophisticated from birth, okay? Man could talk from birth. We learned that. Man was, you know, naming all the animals. How could they name the animals if they didn't speak? I mean, think about God's word being true and what that implies to the history that you've learned. Because I've got a source, and I'll mention it next time, that many, many people trust blindly. A source that many people would say, oh yeah, of course, I trust them, that totally contradicts the Bible. And there are sources out like that everywhere, and they speak with such confidence that there was this slow point of evolution. In Genesis 4, through Cain's wicked offspring, we learn there was sophistication in that city. There was sophistication going on. There was musicians. They weren't just building music, musical instruments, they were playing them. By the way, they are from the line of Satan. They're Satan's line. And what was he? He was the minister of music up there in heaven. Okay, I'm running out of time. Tune in next time. We'll get right back to this topic. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. God bless and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place.